Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom?
Yes.
The kingdom of God come to earth. Heaven on earth, like the community of God's people, where His will is done on earth as it is in heaven, where people actually live in His presence, live by His power, are able to speak to Him, are able to hear from Him, are able to receive from Him, be given guidance by Him, have every need supplied by Him. Isn't that an awesome idea? It's amazing. I do need the PowerPoint. We're going to read again from Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, and think a little bit about prayer this morning. And so I'll just read to you. If you've got your Bibles and you want to turn to Colossians chapter 4, please do. And as you're doing that, I'd just like to welcome our guests. And if you're here with us today for the first time, or the second time or third time, again, we welcome you. Glad you decided to come and worship with us. If you are a first-time guest of the church and you live locally, then we've got a gift for you. And all you need to do in order to claim that is to fill out one of these information cards. You can find them at the table in the very back of the room there. And there are some books that are laid out on the table. If you'll just fill out this card and hand this in to someone there, then you can just pick up one of those books. It kind of captures your heart, whatever there is that has your attention there, okay? So again, welcome. Glad you're here. I would love for you to consider calling PCC your church home. Now, as we turn our attention to the Word of God, we're going to read one verse, and it's this, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. It says there, devote yourselves to prayer. Thank you. Being watchful and thankful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the words we've been able to sing and the fact that they represent reality and the truth of who you are and what you have done for us in Christ Jesus. We give you praise that we are able to give you praise and that we're able to enter into your presence because of Christ's work on our behalf. We thank you for that. We thank you for every word that we have already read from your scriptures. And we thank you that those words are alive and that they are powerful, that they renew our minds and strengthen our hearts. We ask, Lord, that as we continue to read from your word, that you will help us to hear your voice, and that you will make our hearts receptive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. That it would be true for everyone who is in this room, that we would be open to your leading in our lives. And that by that we would begin and increasingly experience more and more of life, just as you and you alone are able to make it in your kingdom. We thank you for that in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me ask you a question. If your career is computer technology, and your phone rings the way that mine did when I walked up to the front of the room, and just by some stroke of extraordinary genius and happenstance, you look down and instead of a number being displayed, there was a name on it and it said Steve Jobs. What would that do for you, you think? Steve Jobs is like founding partner and former CEO of Apple Corporation. What would that do? Computer technology is your gig. You look down, Steve Jobs is calling you. Think that might make your heart beat a little fast? Yeah? Or let's say that you hope to be involved in film one day. Your phone rings. Someone else picks it up and says, oh, yeah, they're here. Just a moment. And they say, hey, it's Steven Spielberg. He wants to speak to you personally. What do you think is going on in your mind and in your heart right then? That'd be like a major day in your life, wouldn't it? Or let's say you hope to play basketball one day. Maybe you're just thinking, I'd like to play basketball in college. And one day LeBron calls you on the phone and says, hey, let's hook up. I hear you're pretty smooth on the court. LeBron James is on the telephone. He wants to talk to you. He's heard that you're pretty smooth on the court. He wants to get some FaceTime with you. What do you think is going to be going on? Right? Or let's say you're single and there's that person that you just have that crush on, the one that just makes you kind of blush when you look in their direction, if you blush like that. And, you know, you really haven't spent that much time talking to them, but one day they call you on the phone. You don't pick up your phone when it rings, but you listen to the voicemail message. And this person that you're just like infatuated with, head over heels, puppy love, leaves this message and says, "Hi, it's me. I really, really want to talk to you. Please call me." Are you going to call back? Are you going to call that person back? Come on. You are, right? That's one of those telephone calls a lot of us probably practicing what we're going to say, right? It'd be like in the movies. You ever see that in, happen in the movies? Somebody like going over their lines, timing, having, "Hi, it's me." "No, hi, it's me." "No," right? You would call back. You would call back. And you wouldn't drop that call and forget about it. Now, this is sort of crazy, I believe, but we read these words that say, devote yourselves to prayer. And chances are that a lot of us will sort of feel a yawn begin to occur inside. We get a little sleepy. And that makes me think that either we don't understand what is being described when it says devote yourselves to prayer, or we just don't believe it. Because, I mean, God Himself, this is what we're talking about here. God Himself is saying, call me. I want to talk to you. Be in touch. I really want to speak to you. I want you to be able to speak to me. And, I mean, if you step back and think about it, I mean, what can compare to that? I mean, seriously. Nothing can compare to that. Not that flame that you wish was happening. Not Steve Jobs. Not anyone. It doesn't matter who you can think of. I mean, who compares to God? I mean, I was talking about people, and all of us know the experience of receiving a phone call that we think is pretty important, and we want to talk to that person, but who can compare to God? I mean, God Himself, who's made everything, who like calls things into being with a spoken word, who can compare to Him? So I think to myself, either we don't get it, we don't really understand what's being described here. Like, we've got some whacked out ideas about what prayer is and about what prayer would actually be like for us in life. Either we just don't get it, or we just do not believe that God wants to talk to us. It's got to be one or the other. Because if we did understand it, and if we really believe that God Himself was calling us into His presence for personal communication, I mean, we would be charged and ramped about that. I mean, nothing could be cooler than that. Nothing. Nothing. So, check it out. When it comes to prayer, it's like everywhere in the Bible, and we looked at this last week. You remember we kind of read through these verses. I'd like for us to look back at them again very quickly. This is supposed to be working. Oh, you know what, guys? Is that little thing plug in the computer? No, it's the little bitty one, little short one. If you can just advance the frames for me until we find it, that'll be cool. So Acts 1:14, actually, if we can see that frame. It basically talks about the apostles devoted themselves to prayer. Next frame. Take just a second. Tell you what. How about this? We do it the old-fashioned way for the time being. Okay, because I didn't include these in print. But Acts 1:14. If my arms are long enough. They all joined together constantly in prayer. It's talking about the apostles. It says, they all joined together constantly in prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. I mean, that's what was going on in the early church. The church was devoted to prayer. there are a lot of passages that talk about how the church was just given over to prayer. Acts 2:42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Acts 6:4, it talks about the apostles and how they viewed, what they viewed and what they believed was their most important ministry. They said, we will give our attention to prayer. We will give our attention to prayer. Romans 12:12. If we can, Romans 12:12. Thank you. It says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be patient when the PowerPoint is like falling apart and you want the frames to it. Be patient. Be patient. We're there now, okay? Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. And that next verse, which is from Ephesians 6:18, says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And again, like we talked about last week, there's nobody in here who's surprised about that. Like, man, I can't believe it. I walked into church and here they are talking about prayer. No one finds it a far out idea that in a church, and when you begin to read from the Bible, that part of that life that you're being called to involves actually communicating with God. Now, we looked last week at a definition, if we can see that next frame, in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, and it sort of just defines, it's a, again, a definition of prayer. It says prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to His will in the name of Christ, and this also involves confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. And so to make it very, very simple, one aspect of prayer, just one aspect of prayer, is that God's saying, ask me for things. If you've got desires, and if you've got things that you want, if there's a direction you want to take in life, it doesn't matter what it is. If it's about a relationship, if it's about a job, it's about financial health, if it's about your body needing healing, if it's about a big decision that you're going to make, it's going to require a commitment for a long period of time. It doesn't matter what it is, bring your desires to me. Offer up your desires to me in the name of my Son. Okay? So, just sort of an answer to the question, what is prayer? Now, here's something to think about. Again, it's God's design that we would ask Him for things. I mean, He's made the world and everything in it, and He's created us, and He's given us life, and He has actually designed our life to work only. And I want to throw that in there as a key word. Our lives will work as they are intended to work only if we actually bring our desires to God in prayer. If we do not do that, there's going to be a sense in which we're always trying to swim upstream. We may not even be able to put our finger on it. We don't understand why. We think, man, I've just made some bad decisions in the past. It seems like I'm always having to fight and scrape and struggle through life. One of the reasons why that often happens to us is because we're not really consistently bringing our desires to God in prayer. But He wants us to do that. He's designed life to work that way. And it's just an awesome thing that in Scripture you find that our prayers are actually pleasing to God. It says in Proverbs 15:8, the prayer of the upright is His delight. He doesn't just want us to bring things to Him in prayer. When we bring things to Him in prayer, it delights Him, it says. It delights God. It gives God joy, is the idea. And we find in that next frame, if we can see that next scripture, this is just not working. We just advance the PowerPoint. Isaiah 65:24. I'll go back to this again. Guys, you hang with me. Don't let the PowerPoint distract you, okay? What are we talking about right now? What's the subject on the table right now? Prayer. Is prayer, our prayers are a delight to God. our prayers are a delight to God. So Isaiah 65, 24, it says, before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. Now, you remember how we talked last week about how you have those moments when you're a kid and you just know if you do everything that your parents want you to do, that all will go well with you. But if you like pester them and you get up in their business and you keep pressing an issue with them, that sometimes your parents just go into like anxiety mode and snap on you, right? You remember how we were talking about that? If you pester them, there's like pain and hurt. And I think that all of us have experienced that at some point in the past where, you know, our parents were just fed up with us coming to them with some desire that we have. We're pestering them about it. And they're saying, don't ask me again. But we've experienced their displeasure. And because we've all had that as an experience in life, there's something in us that makes us want to transfer that experience over to our understanding of how our relationship with God works. But actually, when you read in the passage, it says that the opposite is true about our relationship with God, that He delights in our prayers, that He wants us to keep coming to Him. And in Isaiah 62, verses 6 and 7, the next frame, let's just keep it on that. You guys, just if you'll just click through them, we can do it that way. Isaiah 62, verses 6 and 7. It says, I have posted watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest and give Him, that is God, give Him no rest until He establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. So God, again, He loves being prayed to so much that He actually sets people apart, selects people out of the company of all of His people to be absolutely persistent and constant in offering up prayers to Him on behalf of the rest of His people. I mean, that is His delight. That is His joy. That is His design of things. So He says, bother me, pester me, keep knocking on my door. And like we were talking about earlier this morning, a smaller group of us, is that it's not that we just have to pester Him until we finally wear Him down. Like, finally God has to give in because we have just bothered Him with a request so much. No, it's not that at all. He hears us. Every time we speak, every time we cry out, He hears, He listens. The idea is that He wants the relationship that we have with Him to be constant, so that we're continually just coming to Him. And we, just like we do with a spouse or with a good friend, we're just sharing the things that are close to the chest, those things that are really weighing on our heart, the things that we're thinking about. We're just speaking to God about those things, okay? That's the idea. And two other reasons why I think God is really delighted with the prayers of His people is because prayer reveals God as the one who is all-powerful and self-sufficient and can do anything that is good for His people. And prayer, by the same token, it reveals us as being completely and totally dependent upon Him. Prayer, if you pray, prayer will actually bring you into touch with reality. It will cause you to begin to see God as He really is, the God that we believe has created everything and sustains everything, the God who every day we are dependent upon. If the solar system is going to remain intact, if the sun's going to shine, if the wind is going to blow, if the rains are going to fall, if plants are going to grow, if the same will be true of animals, if you are going to breathe air, I mean, everything that you can think of that is a constant reality and that is necessary for life is dependent upon God. And prayer sort of puts us in this position of beginning to understand that more and more. Wow, God is all wise and God is all powerful and everything is completely dependent upon Him, and God can open any door and He can change any circumstance and He can heal any broken body, and He will run to answer and to fulfill the needs of His people if only we will come to Him, because we are needy and dependent upon Him in that way. And so God delights in us spending our time in prayer because it makes us see the truth. It makes us see the truth. Now, nobody just wakes up one day. If you look at this next part of Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful in it. Being watchful in it. And the idea of being watchful in it is that nobody just coasts into godliness. Like, you don't just put your life on automatic pilot and one day you wake up and, wow, you're just full of knowledge of the Scriptures and all kinds of wisdom, and your relationship with God is vibrant and alive, just on fire. It doesn't happen by accident. It just doesn't. I looked up like a week and a half ago. I just typed in Google search. It was accidental discoveries or something like that. And I found, wow, some really amazing things people have just come upon by accident. One of them was penicillin. Maybe you know the story behind penicillin and how there was a guy who was a scientist and he had some things in petri dishes and he was going on vacation, and his name was Alexander Fleming. And he was going on vacation and he didn't clean up all around this station where he had these petri or petri dishes, depends on where you're from, I guess. And when he came back from vacation, he noticed that there were these odd types of growth in the dishes. And furthermore, when he began to investigate, he discovered that certain kinds of bacteria would not grow around the growth inside the dishes. And that's how penicillin was discovered. Just an amazing discovery, just absolutely by accident. I mean, there was no plan, no rhyme or reason to what he had done, other than that, I'm heading to vacation, I'm not cleaning up, I'm taking off. He came back and it was like, voila. The world is blessed, you know? But when you read, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful in it, you can be sure it isn't just going to happen by accident. I mean, it's like getting your body in really good shape, or, you know, taking care to watch over your diet so you don't suffer clogged arteries, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it takes planning. It takes discipline. And when you see someone who is marked by wisdom and knowledge of Scripture, and you meet someone and you think, I really do believe that person knows God Himself, that this person knows God in a way that a lot of other people don't, knows Him intimately. I mean, that didn't just happen because God just decided to like pour that into someone alone. What it also involved was that person spending their time reading through the Word, meditating upon God's Word, bringing all of their life before God in prayer, continually consecrating his or her life to God in prayer. And it's not this idea of being a monk, right? It's like holed away in some cave and cut off from the rest of the world, but really practical stuff about growing in godliness. You see a person who's marked by that, and there's a person also who's spent time in prayer before God, and they ask God at the end of the day, Lord, show me if there's some offensive way in me. Was there anything that I thought or anything that I said or anything that I did today was not pleasing to you, was not like pouring life into other people? Reveal that to me, Lord. And a person who is like that is a person who would do things like confess their sins. Right? And a person who is like that is a person who would do things like apologize to other people. But all of that stuff's rooted in a life of discipline. A life that is like this. It's sort of like, I know who I am according to the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. I understand my identity is rooted in Christ. I am His disciple. I'm going to live life the way He lived life. I'm going to do the things that He says really will produce streams of living water from within. And so, as far as prayer goes, you find someone who's living that life. It's a person who has decided at some point in time, I'm going to remove all the obstacles between me and a life of prayer. I'm going to remove the obstacles. Got to get rid of the obstacles because there are things that are keeping me from praying. And as much as those things are keeping me from praying, those things are keeping me from moving forward in life. And I just want to move forward. Everybody in here does. Now, again, I run back very quickly to the idea. But when we talk about prayer, a lot of people are like, I think either we don't understand or we don't believe it. So the goal is to both understand and to believe. God bless you. Okay? So let's talk for a few minutes about a few roadblocks to prayer. And I would characterize one of them this way. I would say that one of the roadblocks to prayer is just that we're just absolutely unaware of what we're actually caught up in here and what life is about. Just blindsided by it, just walking through life kind of ignorant of what's really going on. And I think that's true for all of us sometimes. You go back in the Bible and at the very beginning you find that it says that God created the heavens and the earth and everything therein, and that God had created angels, angelic beings, and that the angelic beings were in awe of God because of His creative power and the way that the things that He had made reflected His glory. And yet there was one angel in particular that became incensed because God Himself alone had exceedingly great glory, and he wanted some glory for himself. And so he rebelled against God, and he actually incited about a third of the other angels, it says in Scripture, to rebel with him against God. That's the one that is referred to in Scripture as Satan. And if you look in Isaiah 14, beginning in verse chapter 12, it actually describes Satan's fall from heaven. That there's like a heavenly war that broke out. And really, I mean, what's a war against God? It's about this simple. God says, okay, you're done. I'm kicking you out of here. And one day I'm going to cast you into a place of destruction and pain and torment. I've prepared that for you, actually. But in the meantime, they're cast down, it describes in Scripture, these demons, Satan and the other demons that fell with him are cast down to the earth. And they live. They actually exist. And they kind of roam about the earth seeking to devour and destroy and attach themselves to you and influence you to think wrongly, to have stinking thinking, and to live your life at a subpar level. That there actually is a spiritual battle that is going on. If it's not still waging for your soul, it is being waged for the vitality of your life right now. And what I mean by that is like, I know for sure that there is no battle being waged for my soul, because my soul is redeemed through faith in Jesus Christ by the grace of God. I just accept that as a fact. My soul is secure. I mean, you can't do anything to me. I'm good to go. Not dependent upon life in this world either. Right? I've got life. And it isn't ever going to end. And it's only going to get better. For sure. The best is still yet to come from me. Okay? That's my testimony. Not because of who I am. Not because I'm like a good person and God loves me because I'm so good. But because I've just cast myself upon His mercy through faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? So the battle's not being waged for my soul, because that's a done deal. But the battle is being waged for my life. And there are demons, and there are like levels, and there are powers, and there are principalities. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons we don't pray, because we don't really believe that that's true. You don't think that there are demons roaming about the earth seeking to tempt your wife to think about other men if other men give them attention. You don't think that there are demons who are battling for the souls and for the lives of your children, and so you don't find yourself dropping to your knees and praying on their behalf that God's grace and mercy and protection would cover them. You don't think that Satan and demons will use whatever influences they have, whatever means are at their disposal to cause your mind to run in the wrong direction. And instead of you being thankful for every good thing that you've got, to always live like with a sense of dissatisfaction, always like a hungering desire for something else that's just made out of stuff that's one day just going to rot and be tossed into the dirt. Right? We don't think that way. We don't really live. See, like somebody has said, we live our lives like it's peacetime instead of recognizing that there's actually a war going on. You think if you have a child who's over there in Afghanistan right now riding in the back of a Humvee attached to a machine gun and there are a bunch of snipers just waiting for them to drive down the street so they can pop one in their head, you think you might be praying? You know you would, because you would understand his life is on the line. Her life is on the line. Oh, God, protect them. Watch over them. Secure them. But I tell you, just because your kid's not over in Afghanistan or in Iraq or something, that doesn't mean it's not, that there's not a war being waged. There is a battle that is going on right now. There's a battle going on for your spouse. There's a battle going on for your marriage. There's a battle going on for the lives of your kids. There's a battle going on for this church. There's a battle going on for your mind right now. Will you actually give attention to the things that scriptures declare as true? Or will you like drift off into la-la land and give it no thought? There's always a battle that is being fought. Always. It's going on. That's one of the things that keeps us from praying. It's like we're totally unaware of what we're actually caught up in, and we think it's peacetime when it's not. It just isn't. I've never had a parent come to me and say, wow, you know, my kid's doing so great. I mean, they are like straight A's in school, and just say socially, like just clicking it. I mean, all cylinders are firing. I mean, it's just the way they relate to other people is a sign of blessing. And you know, my kid is obedient at home, and it just seems like the future is theirs to reach out and grab. But I sense that my child is just kind of falling into an exercise of dead religion, and it's just going through a routine at church. They don't really see God for who He is. They're not really passionately in love with Jesus Christ. I've never had a parent say that to me. If all the other little things in life were in place, like if a kid was like successful in sports and doing well at school and it's socially adapted, I've never had parents come to me just like in trembling fear, I need prayer for my child because my child has a heart that just seems to be kind of closed off to the reality of the greatness of God. But you let that kid like start making straight F's in school, parents go, my kid's like failing in life. And the reason I use that as an example is because sometimes, I mean, we think it's peacetime. There's a battle that's going on. And it's happening often on different fronts than we would expect. Sometimes we're just using the wrong things as a test. So that's the one roadblock would be we're just unaware of what's really going on around us. And number two is our pride. I think all of us buy into the lie that we actually control the circumstances of our lives and our environment. We live in a culture that basically says 2 + 2 will always equal 4. And that's true in your education, and that's true in your relationships and in your marriage, and that'll be true in your career. If you want that, then do this. And if you do this, then you will get that. And it will always be the case. You're in control. You think that's true? And look, I'm not making an argument against planning. And I'm definitely not making an argument against making wise decisions in life. No, not at all. I'm saying, do we ever wake up and think that we're in control of life? I mean, really? Really? Here's what happens. We go through a period of life and we're kind of healthy and we've stacked away money in the bank and our job looks pretty secure and the checks keep coming in. And man, we're sitting on a mountain. I mean, it's like, wow, we've just been blessed. And then we kind of feel like we're in control then, right? Don't you ever? Look, Debbie and I were driving the car the other day and we were sitting at a stoplight. And there was a car that just like drove right through the red light. I mean, we're just sitting there. And this car just drove right through. And I looked at that and I thought, whoa, who was in control of that? I mean, if you were coming through the intersection, well, you bought it. I'm telling you. And stuff like that happens, right? I mean, diseases can happen randomly from our perspective. Miscarriages don't always have a discernible cause. You can contract hepatitis from touching a piece of fruit in the grocery store, right? I mean, there can be a new invention and it completely shuts down an entire industry and thousands of people lose their jobs. Or you get a pink slip at work and it didn't have anything to do with you or anything that you have done. It was just a decision that was made completely and disconnected from every interest that is yours in the world. Or cancer will come and things like that happen. And no one, you know, right? They happen. And people don't say, wow, well, I kind of lost control. Lost control of life there last week, right? They just completely shut down my job. I lost control. Yeah, you lost control. You never had it in the first place. You never had it in the first place. And but because we think we have life under control and everything's going all right, you know what happens? And we don't pray because we're like, God, we don't need you. We got it. It's covered. I got it under control right now, God. But you let, but lose your job and see what happens, right? Let a car run through the red light and blindside some members of your family and your kids in the hospital hanging on for life and see what happens. See if you don't find it easier to pray then, right? You let the banks collapse and all that stuff you've been stacking away in accounts that you're thinking, yeah, man, this gives me such a sense of comfort and peace and control over life and all that stuff like disappears overnight. You let a war happen and see how easy it is to pray then. And it's not that anything, circumstances have changed, but one thing has remained constant. You aren't in control, but God is. And that's what He wants us to understand. But one of the reasons we don't pray is because we think we've got it. We got it covered, God, so we don't run to Him. Here's another one, is unconfessed sin. Sometimes people, they like have something in their life and they think, well, once I get cleaned up, then I'll go to God in prayer. I don't understand that. As a matter of fact, that's a false understanding of the gospel. If you've got unconfessed sin in your life, as a matter of fact, that's a reason to pray. You just go ahead and go to God in prayer. The way it happens a lot of the time in a church is that people think that it's like, if I do the good things, if I am moral and I live my life on the straight and narrow, then that gives me the ability to come before God in prayer. That's absolutely contrary to the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is, you don't get right standing with God because of the things you do. You get right standing with God when you recognize that because of the things that you have done that were wrong, you need a redeemer. You need a savior. And so you come before God and you just throw yourself upon His mercy. Well, sometimes like Jesus told a story, He told a story about two guys who went up and they were praying and one of them was standing up. And see, they were thinking that way. They're like, God, I thank you that I'm not like the other people, right? I thank you I'm not like that guy who's over there bowed down, right? You know that story? I thank you that I'm not like, and there's this pride in him because he thinks he's so good because, man, he's crossing his T's and dotting his I's and doing all the little right things. But there was one guy, he wouldn't even lift his head up towards heaven. He beat his breast and he's just saying, oh God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And Jesus says one of them went home justified. One of them went home clean. One of them went home right before God. And it wasn't the one who looked all pretty on the outside that everyone thought was righteous. Right? So unconfessed sin is not a good reason to keep you from prayer. As a matter of fact, there's one way to look at it. Be like, wow, if there's like sin I've been holding on to, I just want to let it go. Now, the last one I want to mention is one we talked about briefly last week, another roadblock to prayer. And I believe there's just a genuine misunderstanding about God's affection for you. You don't really believe that God loves you as much as He does. You don't believe that God has as much joy in you and delights over you as much as Scripture declares that He does. You remember this verse? It says, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by His love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Now, sometimes we'll sing a song, and it'll be like, man, that was a song, wasn't it? Wasn't that a song to sing? Or maybe there's another song you can think of that everyone has a song that for them just like pours life into their heart. You know what I mean? And you hear that and you think, not only is that an amazing song, but this person has done it with such power, right? You know what I'm talking about? Can you imagine what it must be like to hear God sing? You think there's some music that is kicking? You think there's some music that excites you? That you like were ready to move to? What would it be like to hear God sing? And it says in Scripture that He will sing over us. And I think one of the reasons we don't run to God in prayer is because, hey, we do know who we are. And because we know who we are, we just think if God knows everything there is to know about us, every little nook and cranny, it's just kind of hard to believe that God would love us enough to sing over us. Right? I mean, my wife and children don't sing about me. You know, they know me pretty well. I'm not like walking into the room. They're just like bursting out in spontaneous song. And I'm like, what's that song? They're like, I'm just singing about you. You're so great. I just love you so much. I just can't contain the joy. It just never happens. And like I said last week, they know me better than most people. They don't know me as well as God does. But see, I'm willing to start thinking about this. And I think God's calling us to do that. When we think about the idea of prayer and coming into His presence. It's not that God's like some cranky, angry old guy up in heaven somewhere. He's the awesome, all majestic, all powerful creator of everything that exists. And He says, if you will come to Him like a little child through faith in His Son, that over you He exalts with loud singing. Yeah, amen. Amen. If we really believe that, we'll run to Him, I think. Sometimes at our house, I will go on a rip and tear about some things. And you know what'll just happen? I'll walk in and it's just like every room's like a mess. And I'll walk in, I'm like, shoes, books, book bag. What's that on the floor over there? Walking in the next room, and it's pretty much the same experience. And the kids happen to be home. And like I'll say, oh, I didn't realize like this was your personal storage locker. I thought this was a family room. And guys, I mean, you all know what I'm talking about, right? And so I just kind of walked through the room. I was like, get this out of here. Get this out of here. Get this out of here. You better get that stuff cleaned up. You better wash those dishes. Load that dishwasher. Why do you leave it? Right? And I'll just get on one of those. I'm just on it. I'm on it. Right? Now, when I do that, the kids aren't like, Daddy, I love you so much. Right? They don't. Here's what happens. Here's what happens, you know, after that's over, they're like in another room. They're like, is he still here? You know? They're like hiding from me. And the reason I tell you that story is, man, I think sometimes we're like that with God. Why do we do that? God's not walking around like that. He's not impatient like me. He exults over us with singing. We don't need to say, is he still here? Is the coast clear? Maybe I can come out. He sees you. He knows where you are. He knows everything you've done. He knows everything you're thinking. And if you're His child still, He rejoices over you in song. And just a natural response when you understand that and you believe that is to want to run to and embrace and enjoy. My kids respond to me totally differently when I'm angry and when I'm loving and happy. And God is loving and happy with His people because of His grace that covers them, okay? Now, I just want to close with a couple of thoughts. And one of them is this. There's some other practical barriers to prayer. And one of them is that we don't always just identify a time when we'll actually do it. And I know Scripture says pray without ceasing, pray continually. And sometimes we struggle a little bit with what does that actually mean? Does it mean to actually pray every minute of every day? I think the emphasis is more on the idea of don't ever faint in this. Don't give up in this. Persevere in this. Let your life involve prayer. where actually you come into God's presence and you're just pouring out your desires to Him, seeking His agreeable will through faith in Jesus Christ. But it might help you to identify a time or some times during the day that would help you do that. Because sometimes if you don't really identify sometimes, the time will just slip by. And you're at the end of another day and you really didn't pray, and then another day and you really didn't pray, and then another day and you really didn't pray. And so just like this verse, when we skip past all of this, it says, "As for me, I call to God and the Lord saves me evening, morning, and noon. I cry out in distress and He hears my voice." It says there evening, morning, and noon. Actually, in a Hebrew mindset, the day began with the evening. And so it would be like us saying morning, noon, and evening. But it says evening, morning, and noon. And so it might help you, for instance, to say, you know what, when I get up in the morning, before my feet hit the floor, I'm just going to say a prayer right then. I'm just going to begin to like pray to the Lord about the things that I've got to do today. What's on my schedule? Or maybe, Lord, even when I was sleeping, I had a dream. And I'm not sure I understand everything about it. You might even want to pray to Him about some dreams that you've had. Because sometimes our dreams will reveal anxieties that we have locked away in our hearts. Or we'll wake up first thing in the morning, especially if we're troubled about something. You know that experience? And something's just kind of weighing on you. It's like the first thing that pops into your mind. A lot of the time, the first couple of things that pop in your mind when you wake up early in the morning, those are the things you really need to pray about. And you could just do it right then before you really get your day started. Go ahead and begin to cultivate that lifestyle of prayer. And then maybe in the middle of the day, you go ahead and you take yourself a little break. Maybe when you eat lunch or something like that. And you're probably going to have some experiences between the time when you wake up and about the time you eat lunch. And you just go ahead and whatever comes to your mind is being significant. You go ahead and just offer that up to the Lord. Lord, this conversation. Lord, this relationship. Lord, this task I have in front of me. I just want to ask You to give me wisdom and give me strength to stick to it and to do it to the very best of my ability so I can honor You. Whatever, okay? If you ask the Lord to teach you how to pray, He will. Amen. You don't have to pray like someone else. Amen. Don't listen to someone else pray and say, "I want to pray just like that person." Even though you might want to model your prayers after some other people's prayers. But you are you, and you've got your own like personality and your own vocabulary, right? And your own style of speaking. Just come to God naturally. And then there's a really good practice. Guys, this is one I would commend to absolutely everyone. It is critical. And if you're not doing this, you're dropping the ball on life. And it's to bring your life to the Lord at the end of the day. When you're laying your head down in your pillow at night, you need to have worked in time in your schedule to review what has happened over the maybe previous 16 or 18 hours. Don't let yourself get on autopilot. You can do that. You can actually do that, just like morning, afternoon, and evening. Maybe you pick a place to pray. And one of the ways you might just move forward in this whole deal is just start with concentric circles.